Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says Israel is responsible for anything that happens in the Gaza Strip while the regime continues blockading the territory and performing attacks. Britain's finance minister says the novel coronavirus has put enormous strain on the British economy. Hours after losing another election lawsuit, U.S. President Donald Trump attacks Joe Biden for making cabinet choices. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. Israeli forces have conducted aerial artillery strikes against the Gaza Strip. Following that, Palestinian resistance movement Hamas said that Tel Aviv is responsible for any escalation. In our news review program just about an hour ago, I've discussed that issue with our guests in detail. Time now for the news review program. Stay with us. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has slammed the Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip, saying that the regime is to blame for new escalation. Hamas spokesman Fawzi Barhoum added that Israel is responsible for anything that happens in Gaza because of its continued blockade and attacks on the coastal enclave. Barhoum stressed that the resistance is only acting in self-defense, in a veiled reference to rocket fires from the Strip. The Israeli military conducted air raids on the cities of Gaza and Khan Yunis overnight. Tanks also hit a Hamas outpost in the town of Rafah. The Tel Aviv regime claimed that they were responding to rocket fire from the Strip, though no Palestinian group has claimed responsibility. Israel has conducted similar strikes on Gaza Strip over the past months. Now let's get some of our guests' opinions on this. So joining me will be Natalie Strecker, activist and campaigner with Jersey Palestinian Solidarity Campaign, joining us out of Jersey, and also Jeff Ramini, Palestinian writer and political analyst, joining us out of London. Let's go to Jersey first. This has been for months. It's not the first time. And Israel has been doing this and targeting different areas in Gaza and different points. Some civilians getting killed. It's not only Hamas positions. I want to ask about the reason behind this, and Israel doesn't seem to want to stop this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there has never really been a true ceasefire, not since the last full-scale assault on the area. Why Israel keeps doing this, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it? I believe if you look at everything else that's kind of happening around Palestine at the moment, I believe it's an attempt on Israel to really force the Palestinians to capitulate in its entirety. And also to, I think part of the issue is probably around trying, because there is a building of solidarity with the Palestinians, obviously, there aren't two sides to this story. I believe part of it is a campaign to try and destroy that by forcing the Palestinians to react in a way that they lose favour, perhaps, in different groups, etc. Beyond that, it's really difficult to tell, because obviously Gaza doesn't really have an army. It's got some rudimentary rockets. It can't really defend itself, but it's been under a legal blockade for, you know, a brutal blockade for over a decade now. Yeah, it's a very difficult one, to be honest. It's such a difficult thing to be observing, especially because Israel continues its crimes with impunity.
Right. Now over to London. Mr. Ramini, this has been going on for months, and Gaza has been under siege for years. And you know what the situation is like there. Many describing it the largest open-air prison. Do you expect an escalation? I mean, given this point in time, you know, Trump administration gave the largest open support to Tel Aviv.
We've been expecting this for the last few days since that rocket was fired towards the southern settlements in occupied Palestine. And the Israelis were making jokes of it, that because there was some thunder in the area, and that we should expect more thunder from Hamas. The Israelis don't need a pretext to hit Gaza. As you said, they've been besieging Gaza since 2007. And they have waged war three times. The last was in 2014, with more than 3,500 Palestinians killed. Hamas should do one thing. Either declare themselves either as a Palestinian resistance fighters or politicians. They cannot keep these channels of communications with Israel through Egypt, through Qatar, through whoever it is, and pretend to be a fighting force for the liberation of Palestine. These rockets, so-called, are causing more damage, more harm to Gaza and to the infrastructure in Gaza than it is doing to Israel. Because every time one of these rockets is fired, either by Hamas or Islamic Jihad or whoever is based in Gaza, Israel blames Hamas and tells the international community we have to respond because we are defending ourselves, you understand. The other thing, Hamas has to agree to whatever terms Mr. Abbas in Ramallah offers them to leave out any doubt who is selling Palestine, Hamas or Fatah. Because who pays for this is not Hamas or Fatah, it's the Palestinian people in Gaza under siege, and the Palestinian people in the West Bank under a different kind of siege called the Palestinian Authority. So for us, the Palestinians, is a lose-lose situation.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. We had Natalie Stecker, activist and campaigner from Jersey, Palestinian Solidarity Campaign, and also Jafar Ramini, Palestinian writer and public analyst, who joined us from London. Welcome back. Let's move on with the rest of this broadcast. Iran is warning Israel of a crushing response if it attempts to harm its advisory role in Syria.
Iran's presence in Syria is advisory, and naturally, if anyone disrupts this advisory presence, our response will be a crushing one.
The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman said that Israel is well aware that the era of hit and run is over, and therefore it's moving very cautiously. He said Israel's aggressive nature is irremediable and called for resistance against it. Tel Aviv has claimed that it has targeted Iranian military sites during its recent attacks on Syria. Iran says its military advisors are in Syria to help government forces in their anti-terror campaign. The British Finance Minister says there will be no return to austerity in an upcoming spending plan, despite problems caused by the COVID pandemic.
You will not see austerity next week. What you will see is an increase in the government spending on day-to-day public services, you know, quite a significant one coming on the increase that we had last year. So I think there's absolutely no way in which anyone could say that's austerity.
An interview with Sky News, Sunak says that the British economy is experiencing enormous strain and stress. He said a public pay freeze can happen. Sunak says the large employment fluctuations are among main issues to be considered in the government's spending review next week. Britain has suffered its biggest economic crash in more than 300 years due to the pandemic. The country is the hardest hit European state by the disease. Britain has confirmed more than 54,000 deaths out of 1.5 million infections. The World Health Organization is warning of a third wave of the coronavirus in Europe early next year if governments do not address issues needed to prevent the spread of the disease. WHO's special COVID-19 envoy, David Nabarro, says that European governments must build the necessary infrastructure to prevent a third wave. He noted that the governments had missed prevention steps during the summer after bringing the first wave under control. The official underlined that such a failure caused the ongoing second wave of the disease on the continent. Europe saw a reduced case load for a brief period, but infections again wreak havoc ahead of the winter holiday season. concern is growing over the coronavirus pandemic as the deadly virus keeps taking its toll on countries in East Asia. South Korea reported more than 300 new cases for a fifth straight day on Sunday. That brings the total infections there to more than 30,700. 500 people in total have lost their lives. The country is planning to tighten social distancing rules for the capital Seoul and nearby areas. Japan also saying it may reimpose attendance limits for sports and other large events as the new cases in the country climb to nearly 2,600. That's a daily record since the disease broke out. The overall infections in Japan have now passed 130,000 with around 2,000 deaths. U.S. President Donald Trump has expressed anger at Joe Biden's rush to announce his cabinet lineup. He says his Democratic rival is moving too quickly in forming a cabinet. The Republican president says his legal team is still fighting to prove voter fraud in the November 3rd election. Biden, who has been projected the winner by the media, is set to unveil his picks this week. Trump has so far refused to concede defeat and continues to file suits in states he believes fraudulent votes were cast. In the latest blow to his camp, a federal court in Pennsylvania has rejected another case brought in by his lawyers. Also in Wisconsin, state officials accused Trump's observers of obstructing a recount of the votes in the state's largest county. The U.S. presidential election has polarized the nation, but a new poll suggests this is just the latest problem in an already deeply divided society. The poll says it shows widespread feelings of disunity, but also little faith that the country will heal anytime soon. We have a report from Chicago.
The U.S. presidential election remains unresolved, but what seems crystal clear is that the nation is more divided at any time than since the 1960s. Or perhaps even the 1860s. A new poll found that nearly 80% of America says they are deeply divided on its most foundational values. Whoever is inaugurated in January will face a deeply mistrustful and disbelieving public, as the poll also finds that just 30% of Americans believe the country will grow more united in 2021. For a nation which is the richest in the world and which faces no serious external threat, such levels of disharmony are shocking even to many Americans themselves.
The far right that's really come from almost like Trumpism, if that movement still stays strong, we can see more conflict in the next 4 years. And I think it's really just dependent on how Joe Biden kind of handles the next 4 years. And also what kind of information is really getting flown out of the far right and whether that gets filtered or not or whether that gets spread very rapidly.
Distrust is not something which grows overnight. Many attribute the division to the American liberals' obsession with so-called identity politics, which divides and redivides people into smaller and smaller tribes based on gender, race, ethnicity, urban, rural, coastal, inland, and on and on. U.S. conservatives are criticized for having a limited view of unity due to an us-versus-them mentality, which leaves little room for change or modernization.
Right. I think that Republicans and Democrats have become almost like their own tribes where they're not willing to give an inch to the other. I hope that's not going to continue, and I hope that the rhetoric becomes less incendiary as we move forward. But I don't think that Trump is doing anything but fomenting more discontent among groups of people that are already tribalized and having a hard time getting together.
The United States is proving unable to resolve a host of enormous problems. Protecting from the coronavirus pandemic, Great Depression-era levels of unemployment alongside a skyrocketing Wall Street, endemic economic inequality which has exploded in 2020, constant racial discrimination, record disharmony between genders, a Congress which is half as popular as an often deeply unpopular president, and of course, a disputed election, the third in six tries. The poll makes it clear that belief in the nation's division is not a partisan issue, as Democrats, Republicans, and Independents all agree in similar proportions. Americans can only seem to agree on one thing, that they really, deeply disagree. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
Thousands of Guatemalans have taken to the streets in their biggest protest rally against the government of President Alejandro Giammattei. Police clashed with protesters after a group broke into the Congress building and torched part of it by throwing projectiles. Administrators called for the resignation of Giammattei over legislators' approval of a controversial budget that cut educational and health spending. They're also angry over the government's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. That's while the country is still reeling from two powerful hurricanes which hit in November, killing 60 people and destroying farms. Well, that's all for this part of the broadcast. Goodbye for me.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is from India,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this very cool and pretty Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is a program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So, dear listeners, contact us and tell us what you think about our programs, or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then start. Record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, this program is your program. It's your views that are important. Dear listeners, keep us company until the end of the program. You're listening to the Sunday program, Listeners Special, and I have to note that many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us in IRIB English Radio to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report normally will be receiving a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. But unfortunately these days, as you know, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. I mean, a paper QSL card. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. Anyway, here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Shivan Paul from India, Dimitri Elagin from Russia, and Rassam Ben Brahim from Tunisia. Shivan Paul, Dimitri Elagin, and Rassam Ben Brahim, we want you to know that how much we in IRIB English Radio support, you know, value your support and commitment to our radio. Also, a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including Hector Fria Hobre from Chile, Mahfouz from India, KP Munir from UAE has sent us an email, Divan Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh has sent us an email, and Konstantin Barsenkov from Russia. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds after the music. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with a lot of emails and letters from around the world, including from an email from Hector Friahofer from Chile. Hector Friahofer from Chile is one of our regular listeners who says, I remember when I was a kid around 10 years old, one day I noticed a big radio with a green light and changing colors. It also had a screen which would show the dial where the signals were propagated. New York, London, Bonn, Madrid, Sydney, Tehran, and thus several names of big cities. Today, after over 50 years, it fills me with joy to know that through radio, people like me could connect and get to know different cultures and customs of many countries. At the age of 23, I started listening regularly to the radio, and I discovered that with a special antenna for shortwave, that wooden box could turn into a magic box. That radio was just like a window that could show you beyond the geographical borders. The shortwave has brought me a great deal of knowledge about the countries around the world because this window has allowed me to travel without moving from my desk, to know firsthand news, and to discover the truth. Ah, well, greetings to you, Hector Friahofre from Chile, and many thanks for writing this really, really inspiring email to IRIB English Radio. You know, I'm really filled with joy after I read your email. Your description of radio and its development to shortwave radio was so interesting. Personally, it made my day reading your email, describing shortwave radio and generally radio. It's an honor to receive such interesting and exciting email from you, Hector Friahofer from Chile. And thank you for sharing your experience about listening to radio and its development to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for writing this email to us. Hector Friahofer from Chile, we are waiting for more emails from you. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Please share more experiences of yours about listening to radio to us in upcoming emails, and tell us which programs in IRIB English Radio you like the best. Thank you again. We are waiting forward to hearing from you very soon. Also, here, we have an email from India. This email is from Mahfouz. Mahfouz says, please convey my regards to your entire colleagues. Hope you're doing well. I'm also fine. In the attachment, I'm sending IRIB English Program Monitoring Report. Please review the monitoring report. I will be grateful to you if you can issue a printed QSL card for me. Please visit my Facebook group page. There, I post my QSL cards collection from all around the world. Thank you for your nice cooperation in advance. Thanks and best regards. Mahfuz from India, first of all, greetings to you and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We also hope you're doing fine. We've received the attachment you mentioned in your email. As you said, this is the IRIB English Program Monitoring Report and Review. We also received that report, and we are grateful for that. And thank you for mentioning your Facebook group page. We will review that also. And regarding your request about sending paper QSL card, as I mentioned at the introduction of our program, sending any material during these days, the outbreak of coronavirus, and regarding the observation of health protocols about sending any item to other countries, sending any promotional item like souvenirs and paper QSL cards is temporarily halted on behalf of IRB English Radio. So please be patient until this disease is controlled around the world, and then we can send you and other listeners around the world the paper QSL cards and other promotional items. Thank you for writing this email to us, Mahfuz from India. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. Here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Konstantin Barsenkov. This dear friend says, thank you for your interesting programs and informative news bulletins. It's a great chance for us to hear the world news from alternative media and not just the mainstream media. Thank you all and the best wishes for you from Russia. And greetings to you, Konstantin Barsenkov from Russia. I hope you're doing well, and also it's a great pleasure for us to have you as a listener. We are so glad that you enjoyed our programs. As you said, they're interesting, and also you said our news bulletins are informative. Thank you. Our effort in IRIB English Radio has been providing our dear listeners around the world with the best and, unbiased, non-partial, and correct news from around the world. Thank you again for writing to us, Konstantin Barsenkov from Russia. Write to us soon. Also, from Bangladesh, we have an email from Divan Rafiqul Islam. Divan Rafiqul Islam is one of our regular listeners who says, greetings to all of your staff. I have the privilege to regularly listen to your daily programs. I'm also glad to inform you that I visit your website and read daily news whenever I get the chance. I should tell you that these days, many young people in my region are becoming more and more interested in listening to radio programs, and I hope that they can send you and other radio stations their reception reports and collect QSL cards. It would be a great pleasure if you can send me few promotional materials via post in future when the coronavirus is gone. Thank you in advance. And salam and greetings to you, Divan Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh. We're so glad that you enjoyed our programs. As you said, you enjoy the broadcast and the website. And it's a pleasure that you read our daily news in the website and listen to IRIB English Radio programs. Divan Rafiqul Islam, as you said, after the coronavirus is gone, we can get back to normal life and send you promotional items of IRB English Radio. Thank you again for writing this email to us. Write to us very soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and in your upcoming letters, tell us which programs you like the best. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear listeners from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from KP Munir from the UAE. KP Munir says, Assalamu alaikum. Hope you're doing well. Yesterday, I had the chance to listen to your English language broadcast and I heard the news program. Nice news broadcast. Please find the attached audio clip of the program I've listened. Please verify and acknowledge. KP Munir from the UAE, salam and greetings to you, and thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. We are very glad that you've received the signals of IRIB English Radio in your country, and as you said, you heard a piece of news and you attached the program you listened. Thank you again. Write to us soon. KP Munir from the UAE. Well, dear listeners, time tells me that here we've reached to the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Hope you'll enjoy it.
My name's Christopher Lewis. I've been a listener to the IRIB English Radio for nearly 16, 17 years, probably a little bit longer now. I'm just interested in shortwave broadcasts in general, Iran in particular, and events in and around the Middle East. I've just had a general interest in shortwave for a long, long time, and very interested in cultures as well. First and foremost, with IRIB, I like listening to the news. That's one feature I've always looked forward to listening to, and also news commentaries, because it's not just international news, it's regional and local news that I'm interested in, and IRIB, for me, delivers that. It's concise. The news is put together very, very well. It's gathered very well. It's accurate. And also other programs afterwards, news analysis, commentary about events in general, world events, and Iran's view on what's happening in the world, not only close to home, but also around the globe itself. I also enjoy listeners' programs, and to find out what other listeners think of IRIB and what other stations they listen to, what their view is on Iran and Iran's views about the world. As concerns the general programme output, I think IRIB has got a more varied amount of programmes than some Western broadcasters, in the fact that a lot is fit into the one-hour broadcast time, and the time is used very, very wise. It's diverse, it's kept interesting, and it features a good about culture as well, about Iran and Iran's views on politics and Iran's relations with other countries around the world. So it's more varied program-wise, which keeps things interesting. I think it's very important as a listener that things are kept interesting and not just rehashed all the time. Which is what IRIB always manages to create an interesting listener, which has probably kept me tuned in for so long. So I just encourage everybody to carry on tuning in to IRIB, sending your reception reports, which I know are very useful to the station itself, and just carry on sending letters of support and interest and learning more about Iran and such a wonderful country it is. Because it's got a lot of culture to offer, and one day it's on my bucket list to visit. I'd love to come and visit Iran.
here we wrap up this week's edition of Listener's Special. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host, Ali. This radio show is about Islamic lifestyle, and in each episode, we will be talking about a different lesson. Please stay with us till the end of today's program. Today's lesson, mourning, complaining, and whining. Complaining in the face of calamities, trials, and challenges is usually a useless act, and it results in wasted energies, emotions, and resources. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, who's the fifth infallible imam, he says, mourning is one of the deeds of the age of ignorance. One shall not complain about the difficulties, rather he shall try to solve them. Mourning over personal loss or for a challenge a person faces in his lifetime, over the death of a close relative, for example, is not something encouraged in Islam. That said, mourning for divine losses, such as mourning for Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the oppression Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam faced at the hands of the oppressors, is something that is encouraged in Islam. But this is not the topic of the tradition that we just recited. We mentioned that Imam says mourning is one of the deeds of the age of ignorance. It is about mourning in the face of day-to-day challenges that we face from every day, every week of our life. This short and meaningful tradition has an outward and an inward sense. So we're going to take a short break, and after the break, we will elaborate on this concept. Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to this discussion on mourning, complaining, and whining. We see many people, they are accustomed and used to of whining over small, little, trivial items and things. So the tradition we recited, the Imam says, you know, mourning is the deed of the age of ignorance. Well, it's outward, it refers to the irrelevant actions being popular at the age of ignorance. When somebody died, mourner women were invited to lament on his death by reciting their special songs and deceitful and false poems. And the other meaning, which Imam Baqir alayhi salam may refer to, is that mourning and complaining for hard and difficult events and problems of personal and social life is useless, and it causes waste of energy and facilities. Instead, one should spend that energy to solve the problems, seeking a remedy by the strength of intellect and thinking, as well as continuous effort and tolerance. Brothers and sisters, we are someone who are supposed to be positive in our lifetime. You know, we have to have a positive outlook on the challenges, on the trials, on the tribulations of life. If we drop the ball and we start to just complain, it drains us, it just consumes us, right? It makes us lethargic. So the solution to that is proposed by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and the Holy Quran is that we stay strong and we fight off these challenges. We face these challenges and we come up with solutions. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
www.parstoday.com/en What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Rich countries accused of hoarding future vaccines are being urged to support a humanitarian buffer to inoculate refugees and people in conflict zones, says Brett Wilkins writer in an article published under the heading, "By rejecting WTO drug patent waivers amid pandemic, richest nations put big pharma profits before health of billions." Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. handful of the world's wealthiest nations on Friday, November 20th, dug in their heels in their fight against waiving intellectual property rules for COVID-19 vaccines and treatments, putting them even more firmly at odds with global health campaigners struggling to ensure access for people in developing countries, conflict zones, and refugee camps. The United States, European Union, United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia all opposed intellectual property waivers at a Friday meeting of the World Trade Organization, WTO, in Geneva. Such waivers would allow mass production of life-saving advances in a move, campaigners say, could shorten the peaking pandemic. Seeking to avoid the type of tragedy the world witnessed a generation ago when hundreds of thousands of people in poor countries died from AIDS because they couldn't afford HIV medications, Kenya on Friday, November 20th, formally asked the WTO to suspend patents for certain COVID-19 treatments. Last month, India and South Africa were the first countries to propose granting permission to WTO members to temporarily waive patents and other protections on all COVID-19 related vaccines and treatments until the end of the pandemic. Since then, China, which according to Reuters has 5 COVID-19 vaccine candidates in latest stage trials, has voiced support for the waivers. Dozens of mostly developing nations also back waivers, as do over 100 civil society groups in Europe who have signed an open letter sent to EU leaders recently supporting the suspension policy. Rich countries have come under fire for cornering the supply of future COVID-19 vaccines. In September, wealthy countries with just 13% of the world's population had already purchased rights to more than half of all promised vaccine doses. And last week, Common Dreams reported that 82% of doses of Pfizer's forthcoming vaccine had been bought up by rich nations. Compounding the injustice, say campaigners, is the unprecedented amount of taxpayer funding pharmaceutical companies have received to develop vaccines. According to the France-based medical charity Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, although Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, Oxford University, have taken a combined $6.68 billion in public funding for their vaccine candidates, the corporations have retained control over key decisions, including who gets the vaccines, when they get them, how much they get, and how much they pay. Consumer advocates have warned that Big Pharma is having it both ways by taking huge amounts of taxpayer funding to develop treatments that they will then sell back to the public at prodigious profits. Earlier this year, Moderna was accused of taking taxpayers for a ride after it announced that it plans to charge between $32 and $37 per dose for a COVID-19 vaccine developed entirely with U.S. government funding. As the rollout of effective COVID-19 vaccines draws near, calls for a people's vaccine grow louder. Responding to news recently that Pfizer vaccine candidate has been deemed over 90% effective and could soon be available, Heidi Cho, a pharmaceuticals campaigner at the advocacy group Global Justice Now, asserted that the company must share this vaccine with the world, not hoard it for profit. That should mean putting it into the World Health Organization's global pool so that the technological know-how and patent rights are shared to enable multiple manufacturers to produce it as fast as possible, said Cho. But since they won't, the WTO needs to act to suspend patents on all COVID-19 medicines, as South Africa and India have proposed. This is a race against time, and we cannot allow the pursuit of profits to triumph over human need, Cho added. The need is acute in war and conflict zones and camps for refugees and other displaced people. Public health advocates are hard at work lobbying rich countries to commit to reserving a portion of their COVID-19 vaccine stockpiles to form a humanitarian buffer to inoculate those who most need help. In Syria, for example, there are a lot of internally displaced people. MSF vaccine pharmacist Alan Al-Sawhani told The Guardian.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kHz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the most important weapons that we as Muslims have is the weapon of supplication, of dua, of, you know, munajat, or the whispered prayers that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a difference between the two, but this is not the place to delve into those differences. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what it has given us both, first of all, in the Holy Quran, there are many different supplications that are there in which we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by. And what is extremely important and what is extremely wonderful about the school of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, that you will find in no other school, in no other religion, in no other denomination or sect, is the amount of du'as that have come to us from the Imams alayhimu salam. We see that the Holy Prophet has certain small du'as. For example, the du'as that we recite in the holy month of Ramadan every day is reported to have come from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ali alayhi salam has many supplications, small and large. For example, the dua of sabah, or the dua that we recite in the morning, it comes from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dua of kumail, for example, comes from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dua of arafah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And many more supplications that come from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. Small and lengthy. In this tradition of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, the Imam is telling us that, look, you have all the supplications at your disposal. You know, some of them are also specific for a particular time. But there are certain supplications, you know, that we can make all the time. And these supplications should be done not only at times of difficulty or times of when we need to supplicate. No, it should be done all the time. Whether we are, you know, at ease, whether we are prosperous, or whether we are in difficulty and at a tight spot. You know, whenever you are, in every situation and circumstance, the Imam is telling us, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this will show that, you know, Allah is not such a person that only when I'm in trouble I go to Him. No, I'm a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I should go to Him at all times, in all circumstances, and in all conditions, to show that I am a servant. Not that I'm just there, you know, to use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time when I need Him, so to speak. So the Imam says in this tradition that a believer must supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of ease. When you don't see any difficulty, alhamdulillah, when you are healthy, so this is where you should actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for health. At times, for example, when you are prosperous and you are wealthy, it's the time you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wealth. And the Imam continues and says that this believer who supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of ease should, in the same way that he supplicates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of difficulty. So obviously we know that when we are in a tight spot, when we have difficulty, we supplicate more. We supplicate, you know, with a heart that is completely, you know, paying attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to supplicate to Him in the way that He sees it fit. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio, with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant.